The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hey, I'm Dr. Z, and I'm a neurosurgeon. So that means long hours, early rounds, late nights, and everything in between. And through it all, I wear Figs. Because they're built for what I do. Through the chaos, through the hours, and through whatever the day throws at me, they do their job so I can do mine. They're comfortable when it counts, and functional when I need them the most. So where do you wear your Figs? On shift, on call, on the couch in the break room, listening to this podcast, wherever it is, they fit right in. And now listeners of this podcast can get 15% off their first order. Just head to wearfigs.com and use code FIGSRX at checkout. That's wearfigs.com, code FIGSRX.
Lindsay Reimer was only 13 years old when she left her home in Hebden Bridge in November 1994 to buy cornflakes from the local shop. Lindsay was never seen alive again. Her body was found under a concrete block in the Rochdale Canals 6 months later. A mismanaged police investigation means, to this day, Lindsay's killer has never been brought to justice. This is the harrowing and frustrating case of Lindsay Reimer.
I'm Emma Kenny. Welcome to Bang to Rights, the deep dive crime podcast, which takes you through some of the most heinous crimes the world has ever seen.
Today's case is one that's local to me. Hebden Bridge isn't far from where I live. It's a beautiful place. It's a paradox to some degree because it's gorgeous, but I would say there is also an underbelly of less than perfect things that play out in the area. On one hand, it's incredibly middle class. On another hand, there are issues with things like dependency and substance abuse. So Hebden Bridge is indeed very, very beautiful, but like any other area, it is imperfect. So let's talk about today's victim. And like I said, this is a frustrating case because it essentially is still open. We do not know who killed Lindsay Reimer, and these are answers that the family want. And certainly it's hopeful that with new evolving technologies and with cases, even when they grow cold, remaining capable of being solved because the police never truly let them go, that the murderer will be brought to justice at some point. I wanted to cover this case, one, because it isn't too far away from where I live. And I think it's really important for people like myself to cover this case because the more that we do, the more it keeps it in the public interest, the more somebody could come along and watch this video and not really think that they have a piece of information that's relevant to the case and then realize, well, maybe I should call the police because on that particular day when Lindsay Reimer went missing, I do remember doing or seeing A, B, C. Those kind of things can be the missing pieces of the puzzle. And when there is a jigsaw puzzle that involves child murder, we absolutely need to solve it. Let's talk about our victim, Lindsay Jo Reimer. So she was born on the 17th of February, 1981. She lived with her two parents. So both her parents were present. That was Gordon and Geraldine Reimer. She also had two sisters and a brother. So a nice, healthy-sized family, shall we say. Certainly busy, but not overboard with siblings and close to all intents and purposes. Their family home was in Cambridge Street in Hebden Bridge, West Yorkshire. And she was in year nine at Calder High School at the time of her disappearance. She was described by her peers as a really popular pupil. She had a gregarious nature. People really liked her. She was a very attractive girl. So she was somebody that stood out for the right reasons, essentially. Now, her disappearance begins on the 7th November, 1994. So this is the last day that Lindsay is seen alive. She's only 13 at this point. So around 10 p.m., she leaves her home. She wants to go out and buy a box of cornflakes from the Spa on Crown Street. And on the way to that shop, a trip that she'll have done 1,000 times, she briefly visits the local pub. It's called the Trades Club on Holme Street. Her mum was actually inside the pub having a drink with her friend Jerry. And like most mums, when Lindsay went in, she said, "Do you want to stay for a drink, have a Coke with us?" But Lindsay said that she didn't want to. She wanted to continue to the shop. Probably with respect because she wanted a bowl of cornflakes. We all know what it's like when those munches take us and we just feel like the only thing that's going to hit the spot is the treat that we've decided that we wish to have. And let's be honest, cornflakes are good for a supper treat and also good when you get up in the morning for your breakfast. So she continues in the direction of the shop. And then you get the CCTV footage from the spa, which indicates that she did actually turn up at the spa to buy the cornflakes and she's seen paying for them at 10:22 p.m., which, I will be honest, is relatively late for a 13-year-old to be out at. I don't want to come across as judgmental in any way, shape or form towards the family. My God, when your child has been murdered, you do not need people to be judging you. I'm just making a note that 10:22 p.m. is quite late for a 13-year-old. She's only just a teenager, and therefore maybe it would have been a better idea if somebody had accompanied her, and maybe it would have been better if she hadn't been out after, shall we say, 9 p.m. at night. But again, when you live in an area where you feel very safe, and I guarantee Lindsay and her family would feel very safe in Hebden Bridge, it's not necessarily something that you're going to be computing. You're just going to assume that you can go on that trip and do that. Now, that's the last known footage of Lindsay alive. She didn't return home that night, but bear in mind, her mum was in the pub with a friend and her dad had actually been on the phone between 9:45 and 10:20 p.m. And sadly, that means that neither of them knew that she was missing. They'd just assumed that she had gone to bed. So in the morning, Lindsay was meant to go to her paper round. So at this point, they realised that Lindsay's AWOL. She hasn't turned up for her paper round job. And they realised, to their horror, the likelihood is that she hasn't been home all night. So now the family are dealing with the horror of the fact that there has been a time frame issue, that potentially she hasn't been home all night, and God knows what could have happened to her. Now, the police, they initially suspect that Lindsay may have run away from home. When you think about the police back in the day, this is certainly the way they reacted and responded to so many young people going missing. And it is devastating because every minute counts when a child may be injured or abducted. The idea that the assumption is, oh, well, they've probably just run away. They'll probably just come home of their own volition sometime in the future. It is tragic. It is better to over-investigate than to under-investigate. That being said, like I said, it's typical of the day. There'd been some local speculation. There were problems within the Reimer household, but the Reimer family said this was absolute BS. There was no issue in the family at all. And this is a real problem, isn't it? When the police go and do door-to-door investigations and ask questions of neighbours, well, there are a lot of people who are willing to tell tales. Believe me, the amount of false information that is given to the police during investigations is spectacular and deeply problematic.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
So all it takes is for a nosy neighbour to have these ideas in their head and want to seem super important to the investigation to put forward a theory about the household having problems and dysfunction, and the police are going to run with it because it's a lot more palatable to think this child has left of their own volition than maybe have been taken by some predatory murderer. But it's really deeply traumatic for the family to have that kind of speculation made. And also, it deflects the investigation and takes it in a direction that's deeply unhelpful when there is a 13-year-old child missing. And the idea that a 13-year-old kid would just run away in the night, think about it. How many 13-year-old kids on the whole are happy to go out in the dark by themselves and not come home? Very, very few. There are some. There are habitual runners. We get that. But they are statistically very, very rare. And the family are saying this is not what Lindsay would do. This is not typical of her behaviour. She was going out to buy cornflakes. She was hankering after a bowl of them. Her mum offered to buy her a Coke at the pub. We're not dealing with a kid who's just about to run off of her own volition because she hasn't got any issues in that moment. Otherwise, she wouldn't have gone and visited her mother. That wouldn't have been on the cards. And certainly, if there'd been problems, her mother wouldn't have been like, why do you want to stay for a Coke? No, she had one intention, to get the cornflakes and to go home with those cornflakes. Lindsay's older sister, who's obviously traumatised by the fact her darling sister's missing, she ends up taking part in a reconstruction of Lindsay's walk to the shop in the hope that they're going to jog the minds of people who might have seen her on that fateful day. And hundreds of local volunteers join the police in the search for Lindsay in the areas around Hebden Bridge. It does not surprise me because it is a very community-orientated area, genuinely. When one of their own go missing, there is absolutely no way that everyone in that community would not be involved. It would be suspicious, in fact, if they weren't, because it is just so much a community place and space. Another thing that the police did was they looked at parts of the Rochdale Canal and River Calder. That's because it was along the route that she travelled home. And I think for most of us, we appreciate that river areas and canal areas tends to be dark, tends to be quite overgrown, often very poor lighting. It's certainly not a place that I would wish my child to be walking very late at night. Not because we should have to expect that terrible things will happen to us if we dare to do something like walk down a dark alley or walk down a canal path. It's just that it's more isolated. And if you are deeply unlucky enough to have a predator following you, then that gives them a perfect opportunity to strike. Nothing happens. No one comes forward with any strong enough leads to determine what's happened to Lindsay. And she doesn't come home. So months and months pass. And her family have to manage the absence of her presence, the void that that's created. They have to deal with the not knowing what could possibly have happened to their beautiful girl. And also, they have to manage the nightmares that they will be experiencing, the trauma, the fears that they'll have had about what could have happened, because they haven't got answers initially. But those answers begin to arrive on the 12th of April 1995 when Lindsay's body is found by two canal workers in the Rochdale Canal. So the body was about 1 mile from the centre of Hebden Bridge, close to Rawdon Mill. And Lindsay's body had literally been weighed down with a concrete boulder to prevent her from floating to the surface. So this has been done by somebody who is not intending for that body to be found and is somebody who wants distance between themselves and the crime. They know that by weighing her down this way, by anchoring her this way, it is far less likely that she'll be easy to find, if ever. And we also recognise that this person has probably used water specifically, because water is terrible when it comes down to the decomposition of forensic evidence. It's the worst thing. That and heat, they are two things that can cause big problems when it comes down to investigations, turning up things like DNA evidence where victims are concerned. Her body had likely been dislodged, and the reason for that is they've been dredging the actual canal that had begun in April 1995. So those operations had meant that obviously things were moving and changing in the waterways. When her body was found, she was still found fully dressed in the clothes that she was wearing when she disappeared, which means the likelihood is that she died on the evening that she went to get those cornflakes. She hadn't been abducted, taken somewhere else, and then dumped later. And the part of the canal that Lindsay was actually found in, that's literally next to a well-lit factory. So the police believe that whoever killed her must have had some kind of insight into the factory's lack of nighttime security, because it gave them light, but they didn't have any security there that would have been able to tell if something terrible was happening to a young woman walking across the canal path. And Andy Glover was one of the men who made the very unfortunate discovery of Lindsay's body. And he said that he would have just loved to have done anything that he could to have helped to bring closure for the Reimer family. He talked about the day that he found her. He said, as part of our weekly tasks, we checked the lengths of the canal. There were regularly items in the water that we had to remove, like reed beds, deceased cattle, sheep and deer. And we thought that it was a sheep as we pulled it towards us, but then the body rolled in the water and there was just no mistaking who it was. We saw the strands of hair on her face and knew. So in that moment, they must just have felt that knowing dread. He went on to say, we'd found Lindsay Reimer. I got home late that day and my wife asked where I'd been and why I hadn't phoned. I just said, we've found her. I didn't need to say who. She knew instantly I was talking about Lindsay. He said, it stayed with me. It always will. So for that worker, Lindsay has stained his conscience because this was a child that he found. And yes, he's brought her home to her family, but he's brought her home with images that only he will have for the rest of his life. Because ultimately, even though he must have done that job day in, day out for years, nothing prepares you for the body of a child coming into your line of fire and vision. Now, the police had previously searched areas of the Rochdale Canal, but they said after they had found Lindsay's body that they hadn't actually searched the section where she was found, which was a complete oversight. And don't get me wrong, detectives did admit this was a mistake. They said we should have searched upstream instead, because the flow of the water in the canal could have taken Lindsay's body upstream from Hebden Bridge toward where she was eventually found. For those of you who in the UK particularly were aware of the Nicola Bully case, again, searches happened, but they didn't search up. And the consequence of that was that her body was found not too far from when she apparently fell in or ended up in the water, whatever the reason was. And it seems mystifying when we have searches going on that don't extend to an area that seems obvious to extend to. And the problem here is because of that, Lindsay's body was in the water for a very long time. And that degrades all the important information from her body. Now, the detectives later clarified that they believed that Lindsay's body had been intentionally placed in the section of the canal where she was found, which would make sense, guys. I mean, she literally was weighed down with a stone. Is it just me who doesn't need to be told by the police that she'd purposely been put there? Is it just me who thinks that this is absolute word waffle? Honestly. So the stone that had been used to anchor Lindsay's body weighed 20 pounds and it was determined to have come from the side of the canal. Yes, it was intentional. And yes, the person clearly knew where to do it and must have had some reasoning behind why they did it there. They take Lindsay's body for post-mortem. That happens on the 12th of April 1995. It's carried out at Royal Halifax Infirmary. It was carried out by the Home Office pathologist, Mike Green. He concluded that Lindsay had actually been strangled to death, which is horrifying. The 13-year-old girl. It's horrifying to imagine how her body has been found. But the very fact that we now know that she was strangled to death. And the reason that he was able to confirm that was her larynx had been flattened against the spinal column. Also, there were signs of congestion across the middle of her neck muscles. There was, interestingly, no signs of sexual assault. Arguably, the fact that her clothes didn't seem like somebody else had put them on and she looked to be wearing exactly what she'd worn the night that she went to the shops, that would again substantiate that belief that she hadn't been molested in any way. But the idea that that still wasn't sexually motivated would be incorrect to assume. Just because somebody has their clothes on, just because somebody hasn't actually been violated physically by a killer, doesn't mean there isn't a sexual satisfaction in the killing. In fact, sadistic killers kill because they just enjoy the pleasure of killing.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Killing, and they get a big sexual kick from that dominating force of doing so. Now, because of the fact there were no signs of sexual assault, Green concluded that the attack had not been of a sexual nature, which I fully disagree with. Again, I get it. Well, you've got to have evidence. You can't make assumptions. Well, you know, you can. You can make some assumptions, can't you? You can make some assumptions that she is a young 13-year-old girl. She is walking down a canal path, potentially. Somebody grabs her, strangles her to death. They're not going to do it without any motivation. There's going to be a reasoning behind those actions. They're not just doing it for kicks and thrills. They're doing it because there is a feeding, an emotional and psychological satisfaction, the feeding of that. And that comes usually, when it's a male, from a sexual desire. You don't have to have sex with somebody to get sexual kicks from harming them. When it came down to the investigation, Detectives believe that Lindsay was killed on the same night that she disappeared, and they think that she was placed in the canal hours before she was reported missing on the morning of the 8th of November 1994. It's a real shame that Lindsay's family didn't realise that she had been missing during the evening and nights, because that would have obviously meant the police had more of an opportunity to do some inquiries in the local area and maybe go down that path, making it more difficult for the actual perpetrator to get rid of a body. And of course, then if somebody had been seen doing anything untoward in the next days, that would have been very notable for the local community. The police also believe that she'd been killed by somebody that she'd known. The Times reported that Lindsay had been described as a cautious girl who would only enter the vehicle of someone that she trusted. The canal where her body was found, as I said, it runs close to the street where the Reimer family lived. Police do believe that Lindsay had walked home along an unlit path that runs only metres from her house. I appreciate that the police are saying that Lindsay would have known her killer. I really don't understand why they're saying that. If they had evidence that there was an individual that they believe is responsible and it happens to be somebody known to her that they haven't just been able to pin the crime on yet, then fair comment. But this is a young girl who walked down an unlit path. It could be any number of perpetrators. We constantly hear of young women who are walking down paths who get attacked, raped, murdered. It is not something that requires a relationship. It's something that requires opportunity. Now, to say she was cautious, she wouldn't get into somebody's car, yeah, probably amen to that, probably agree with you. But again, there is an assumption that a 13-year-old girl would have any power if somebody wanted to get her into a car. So a perpetrator just needs to be violent and stronger and have an intention to take a victim. So, like I said, the idea that the perpetrator is known to her doesn't necessarily make sense, to me at least. Now, the lead investigator, a guy called Tony Whittle, he suggested the killer may not have intended to murder Lindsay. I kid you not. Stated, possibly someone she knew very well offered her a lift. Unbeknown to her, he could have been sexually attracted to her, took her to the factory, and when she struggled and screamed, perhaps he killed her by mistake. Just going to throw it out there, guys. I don't think she ended up under a block of concrete on the same night by mistake. Is it just me who thinks that? Is it just me who thinks that? No, it's not, is it? It's all of you thinking that. And the idea that now we have somebody that she knows very well, not just well, she knows someone super well, so well that this cautious girl gets in a car with him, gets taken to a factory where this person tries to molest her. She responds by reacting, and then this person kills her. No, it's so far-fetched. It's so far-fetched. You don't have to know your killer. Your killer just has to know they want a victim. It's far more likely you've got a perpetrator, a predator, a human killer just out there waiting for that victim profile, watching. And then she comes into vision. He follows her and the rest is history. And I'll tell you why I think it's super unhelpful for these assumptions to be broadcast. It's super unhelpful because there'll be people around the family who will automatically be looked at on a suspicious level. And they don't need that. Because there is no reason why this had to be somebody that she knows. In fact, ultimately, if she knew them very well, I'm sure they would have incrementally got to a place where they'd groomed her before killing her. The reality is, this is somebody who was looking for a victim and looking for a victim to kill, and he managed to find one and he did it. And the other reason it's unhelpful is because it means that local people are thinking this is somebody in our community who is known to us. They're not looking externally. People aren't thinking about those visitors who arrived and left. And that's where investigations get skewed. You cannot say, as an investigator, you believe this person is A, B, or C. Because by doing that, it means that D, E, and F often get thrown out of potential categories. And when missing turns to murder, as in a case like this, every single lead, every possibility, every thread that needs to be connected needs to be connected to find out who this violent killer is. Like I said, the idea that this was just some kind of mistake and he just, I don't know, came up with a plan to get a block of concrete and hold her under with it, that is somebody who had planned. That is somebody who knew what they were doing. Now, after Lindsay's initial disappearance, One of the things that police had discovered was a red Honda Civic had been stolen in Meanwood near Leeds on the 6th of November 1994. And that car had been spotted several times, apparently, in Hebden Bridge near to the spa where Lindsay was last seen alive. The car was again seen in Hebden on the evening of the 12th of November. Police did attempt to trace the driver and the vehicle because obviously it's really important to get rid of them for your inquiries or confirm that they're absolutely somebody that they want for questioning. They described the driver as a bearded male, and this man raised further suspicions after it was discovered that he'd been trying to chat with several teenage girls around Hebden Bridge during the time that Lindsay had disappeared. And some of the girls who he approached were actually Lindsay's school friends. And after Lindsay's body was found, detectives said that the very same man had been spotted near the spa where Lindsay was last seen. Also, unhelpfully, they said they'd been unable to trace him. So potentially, this is somebody who could link with the crime. I suppose you could counter that and say, well, if he has just killed Lindsay and her body's missing, would he be chancing being around that local area immediately after the murder, when it's going to be really hot for him in the context of being lots of police around and people looking for strangers who may be in their local environment? And also, even though men shouldn't be approaching girls in an inappropriate manner when they're older, this is something that does happen, and it doesn't mean that they actually want to kill them. Far more often, it just means that they're leeches and lechers and oddballs who really need to do better in life. 2 months after Lindsay's body's found, the police released some pictures of shoppers filmed by the CCTV at the spa on the 7th of November. A number of the shoppers that were seen on CCTV hadn't been traced and identified. So at this point, police are just appealing to the shoppers to present themselves because, you know, they can have information that they don't even think is important, that is vital to the investigation. So they're just beseeching them to share whatever information they may have. Even if they're just saying, yeah, I was there, but I don't really remember anything, at least then they can get rid of that line of inquiry because that person hasn't got anything to add. 1 year after Lindsay's disappearance, they start theorising that Lindsay could have met her killer at the Hebden Bridge bonfire on the 5th of November 1994. This is only days before she disappeared. The police at this point appeal for anyone with relevant information to speak to them. I mean, with respect, one could theorise anything, couldn't they? They could theorise anything. Oh, well, Lindsay could have met this individual on a boat. I don't know whether she's on a boat ever. Well, it's a theory. She could have met one of these individuals when she was designing gardens for a local...
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
I can't tell you how often I hear, oh, I'm a little OCD. I like things neat. That's not OCD. I'm Howie Mandel, and I know this because I have OCD. Actual OCD causes relentless unwanted thoughts. What if I did something terrible and forgot? What if I'm a bad person? Why am I thinking this terrible thing? It makes you question absolutely everything, and you'll do anything to feel better. OCD is debilitating, but it's also highly treatable with the right kind of therapy. Regular talk therapy doesn't cut it. OCD needs specialized therapy. That's why I want to tell you about NoCD. NoCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for OCD. Their licensed therapists provide specialized therapy virtually, and it's covered by insurance for over 155 million Americans. If you think you might be struggling with OCD, visit NoCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call and learn more. That's NoCD.com.
Church. She never did that. It's a theory. She could have met this individual at a bonfire. A bonfire that people would have seen her at. A bonfire where lots of people would have recognised her because it's local. A bonfire where she would have been talking to people and others would have noted that she was talking to somebody she didn't note usually to talk to. A bonfire where if she had met somebody, she may have told people she'd met somebody. Because you do that when you're a kid, if you've met somebody. I suppose that could be a theory. Yes, it's a theory. I mean, again, is it just me? We're just going to theorise that she could have met somebody at a bonfire and that could have a lit... I mean, you meet people all the time, but if it's that notable, I'm sure that she would have spoken to somebody. Having said that, of course, what we know about certain killers is they like to lock onto individuals. If there was somebody who was trawling her, who was stalking her, and she was unaware, sure, they could have been at the bonfire. But the police are genuinely trying to get people to contact them. They want people with relevant information to speak to them. They certainly want to bring this child killer to justice. Now, they don't really get very far, but in the late 1990s, Lindsay's murder investigations reopened. This is as part of Operation Enigma. So this was like a national cross-force police inquiry, and the whole premise of this was to be assembled to review the unsolved murders of 207 women across Britain. Please let that sink in. Please let that sink in, guys. This inquiry, and bear in mind, this isn't all the unsolved murders, by a long shot, but these are the unsolved murders that they put into this inquiry. 207 unsolved murders across Britain. That makes my stomach drop. It really does. That's 207 families without answers. That's 207 killers walking the streets potentially. That's harrowing beyond belief. Now, one of the main aims of that group was to examine possible links among murders and to also examine whether unidentified serial killers could be at large, which is a terrifying thing to connect with. Because clearly, when large numbers of bodies are turning up and we aren't solving the cases, of course it could be a serial killer, particularly an organised serial killer, where they're good at what they do. And their learned dynamic behaviour, whether MOs are concerned, mean that they perfect how they act and kill. You know, they get better at being forensically sophisticated. And when they've got away with it, they're going to have the confidence to do it again and again and again. The idea that these killers are at large is horrifying. Now, ultimately, Enigma actually eliminated the possibility of links between Lindsay's murder and other killings. So even though this was a child murder that could certainly have been connected to others, when they looked at, shall we say, the signatures and MOs and the profile of the killers, it clearly didn't fit. Now, we get to 2000, and this is when a forensic psychologist, a guy called Richard Badcock, told police that Lindsay's murder may have had a sexual element. I would agree fully with Richard Badcock. I really would. He stated that Lindsay may have been killed after she rebuffed the killer's sexual advances. I personally don't believe that we have to go to that point. I don't think that she has to rebuff anybody's advances because I think this killer wanted to kill her. So there may have been a sexual element to the killing because he'd have been a sadist and got gratification from it. But the idea that she needs to reject this person to then encounter the violence that she endures and finally loses her life to, that doesn't make sense. Also, this particular forensic psychologist claimed that she was close to where her body was found. I think we would all agree with that. Certainly, that would make sense. Now, in the years following the discovery of Lindsay's body, the police have taken hundreds of witness statements, have spoken to over 5,000 people. More than 1,200 vehicles were examined in the first year of the investigation alone. So as much as they didn't start off well, I would say, in this investigation, they certainly tried to make up for it when you explore how much work has been done since her body was found. We get to 2003, so many, many years have passed at this point, and it's reported that detectives were investigating a possible link to double murderer Tony King. At this point, police request a copy of his DNA. Now, don't get me wrong, they said to the press that any suggestion King was linked to Lindsay's death was pure speculation, but it was a line of inquiry. And the reason for that was, in 1994 to 1995, he was actually in prison for robbing a woman at gunpoint. But then we get to 2007. At this point, a crime writer, Wensley Clarkson, publishes a book titled The Predator, Portrait of a Serial Killer. He claimed that Francisco Archmonts, who was responsible for the infamous murder of Caroline Dickinson, was also Lindsay's killer. So Caroline was a 13-year-old British schoolgirl. I remember this case so, so well. She was killed by Monts as she basically slept at a hostel during a school trip to France. Can you believe that? We'll have to cover that case at some point. It's mind-blowing. She's on a school holiday. And this guy murders her. She's in her dormitory. It's just breathtakingly awful. Now, Clarkson, the author of the book, said Monts had been visiting York while he was working as a waiter in a hotel in London, and he stated that Monts was on a hunting trip in Yorkshire on the 7th of November 1994, and he believes that that was when he would have likely abducted and murdered Lindsay. I will say, just throwing it out there, hunting isn't a massive thing in Yorkshire. Honestly, tea, going out on nice walks, they're quite active activities that we do in Yorkshire. But hunting's not something that is really a big connector in that area. But whatever, this is what Clarkson says. So Clarkson went on to say that he would have been sexually motivated in his killing. Also, when you look at his victim profile, which was between 12 and 14, she fitted that. But Lindsay's mother, like me, was highly skeptical of these claims. Clarkson also claimed that the info Monts might be the killer came from a retired police officer, but then refused to actually reveal the officer's name or department they were from. So you're going to write a book. You're going to suggest wildly there's a link with a killer from France to one in the UK. You're going to say that a police officer told you all this information, but you're not actually going to tell us who told you the information. I mean, skeptical, methinks a little bit so. Because if you have information, and that information, particularly to the family, is going to be really important, even if it doesn't get made public domain, let the family know. Let them have a conversation with the officer involved. Don't just publish a book on it. If you're not willing to do that, I question the legitimacy of what you're saying. Also, he was unable to confirm whether evidence existed to prove Monts was in Hebden Bridge the day Lindsay disappeared. So just let's go through that. So you've decided that Monts is the killer of Lindsay Rymer. Yes. And why? Well, Monts was working as a waiter, went on a hunting trip to Hebden Bridge on the date that Lindsay went missing. And it will have been sexually motivated without a doubt. How do you know this? I can't divulge my sources. Have you got evidence to show us that he actually was present in Hebden Bridge on this day? No. Are you just saying this stuff and hoping people will read your book and not question it? That would be preferable, thank you. So basically, Lindsay's mother's right. I would say that she has some fair points. Honestly, it's just really unhelpful when this kind of speculation occurs, isn't it? But anyway, like I said, this is another theory that's been posed. Now, West Yorkshire Police, they said that they'd attempt to establish whether there were any truth to Clarkson's claims. And of course you would hope so, because if there was any truth, that would need to be investigated. But I have total sympathy and empathy with Lindsay's mother. She must feel really frustrated when this kind of speculation is made. During the investigation, detectives have actually investigated quite a lot of convicted murderers and sex offenders who were free at the time of Lindsay's murder. And these included John Taylor. He was jailed for life in 2002 for the murder of Leanne Tiernan. I've covered that case. It is harrowing. Also, John Oswin, he was jailed for life in 1998 for two rapes. Both of those were investigated, but there was no evidence to link either to Lindsay's murder, which is really sad because we can't bring Lindsay back, but we want to bring closure to some degree for the family as far as understanding what played out. Now, in April 2016, a forensic specialist from Canada was actually able to build a DNA profile of Lindsay's killer. So it was hoped at this point that that would really help to identify the murderer, and I can imagine the family would be excited about that. This sparked Lindsay's younger sister, Juliet, to post a video, and she posted a video to appeal for information. Bear in mind, Juliet was only 17 months old when Lindsay disappeared, and that means that she won't have ever got to truly know her sister, which is just a travesty. She said, "There will always be a void. I have no memories of her of my own. Everything is from photographs, stories, and the media," she says. "A piece of everyone's soul is missing, and I often wonder how our lives would have been if we were not a broken family. The advice Lindsay would have given me, the fights we might have had, the things we may have shared." And Juliet and Lindsay's mother, Jerry, said, "How do you tell a 2 or 3 year old that her sister was murdered? You can't." But she pieced it together and made her own little story about what had happened. She said, "I think Juliet has sat back over the years. She doesn't remember her sister. She just remembers the stories that we tell her. And I think..."
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer.
Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In the News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
She's been desperate to do something to help. That's why she's decided to speak out. And Juliet had said in that video, not knowing what happened is the worst part. You walk down the street and wonder, was it them? Do you know something? Getting the answers wouldn't change the hurt, but it would help bring closure to us all. I think every single one of us can empathise with what she's saying there. And to be denied an opportunity to get to know your sister because some brute, some psychopathic killer stole her life. It must be excruciating. And the psychology of experiencing such a traumatic loss, it does break you. It breaks your family. You will never be the same. You are dealing with a sliding doors moment where everything that you knew becomes everything that feels foreign. Your life as you knew it has just fallen away. And you have to pick up the pieces, and there will be millions of pieces, and hope that you can make a beautiful mosaic from something that was once whole. That's how it feels when you go through a traumatic loss like this. Lindsay's family were given some kind of hope on the 8th of November 2016. This is when a 63-year-old man from Bradford was arrested on suspicion of the murder because of that DNA that they'd found. He was later released on police bail. And that, for Lindsay's parents and siblings, must have been enormous. Just this hope, maybe we've got him. And they spoke at a press conference and her mother said, my little girl deserves justice. My little girl does not deserve to be dead. It's also worth bearing in mind that she and her husband, Lindsay's father, they actually divorced following the death of Lindsay, which is so common. Many couples break up within the first year because you are going through something that changes who you are, every fibre of your being, and you cannot be who you used to be. And it affects every element of your life. And often relationships are the first thing to fall by the wayside. So they're dealing with the collateral fallout of the loss of their child. She also at this press conference said, I made a vow when her body was found that I would not give up until the conclusion. We owe it to Lindsay. And that demonstrates the clear presence of the child that, yes, is dead, but will never die in their memories. She said, I miss her every day. We all do. Which goes without saying. Then a second suspect, a man who was aged 68, he was arrested by West Yorkshire Police on suspicion of murder on the 25th of April 2017 in Bradford. That's clearly not led to anything. We're in 2024 now. In 2017, a retired detective sergeant, John Matthews, who is from Cleveland Police, he stated a man he'd questioned in connection with the murders of Tina Bell and Julie Hogg was also connected to Hebden Bridge and the Reimer family. He said the man in question died in 2005. And Matthews said he should have been considered as a suspect in Lindsay's murder initially, because the man had apparently moved to Hebden Bridge in 1990 and had worked at the trades club. That's challenging because this guy's dead. So bringing him to justice is impossible. And also, how likely is it that they're going to be able to link him with her killing if he's responsible? It's really disturbing that this police officer is looking back and saying, listen, the police dropped the ball. They should certainly have investigated him from the get-go. Now, when it comes down to Lindsay's death in the media, well, her case is by the 1996 play Eclipse. It was the first play, actually, written by Simon Armitage, who's a really big writer in the UK. Armitage is actually the current Poet Laureate. And for those of you who don't know what that is, it's an honorary position. It's given to you by the monarch, and you receive a barrel of sherry. It did get discontinued, actually. You stopped getting that sent to you for a period of time. But in 1984, I think it was, when Ted Hughes was Poet Laureate, it was reinstated. So Ted Hughes is probably like, I'm not taking this honorary position unless you send me a barrel of sherry. I mean, it'll take a bit of time to get through a barrel of sherry. A small amount is quite a lot, and it's very bad for gout. So make sure you moderate when it comes down to that, particularly if you're eating it with cheese. But anyway, by the by, so he wrote about this, and part of his storyline concerns children who are obsessed with ritual, magic, and superstition. And the reason why that plays in is Armitage thought that it reflected the character of the community in Hebden Bridge. And I totally get that. I'm not saying for one minute that people in Hebden Bridge are out there doing voodoo or ritualistically slaughtering animals for the devil. Quite the contrary. I'm saying if you think about Wicca and white witchery, those kind of things play in. There's a lot of New Agey stuff. There's a lot of naturopaths. There's a lot of people who believe in a more holistic way of living and a Mother Earth Zen connection. So magic, mysticism, etc. will certainly form part of that environment. And it's one of the very beautiful things about Hebden Bridge. Like I said, it's an imperfect place, but I promise you, if you went to visit, it is just idyllic to the eye. And it's at such a opposite reality to what I've just talked about. In this case, what strikes me most is those initial failures that we see constantly play out, where children go missing and they're considered runaways, where investigators didn't look in places that seem so obvious on reflection, that individuals who should have been questioned were not. For example, people who worked at the pub where she went that evening, because they're going to be aware of where she's going if they overhear it. And if there is a particular character the police believe could have been responsible, surely that individual could have been spoken to if those investigations were done in that way. For the family, the truth is, all of this has meant that they do not know who killed their daughter. They do not know who Lindsay Rymer's killer is. And it's something that really affects me. So I know that for most of you, you will not know Hebden Bridge. You will not know Lindsay Rymer. You will not know her family. You will not know the area whatsoever. You won't maybe have even been alive when she was killed. But some of you will, and some of you will know that area. And if there is anything, any piece of information, any snippet of information, conversation that you've heard through others, that you feel could relate to this case, then please speak to the police, because you might think it means nothing. You may believe that your information is negligible, but I promise you, it's what creates the solves in these cases. It genuinely is what brings closure for families. So if you have any information, please, please, please do contact the authorities, and let's bring Lindsay Rymer's family the closure, the peace maybe they deserve. Take care, guys, and as ever, look after yourselves. I'll see you next time. That's it for Bang to Rights today. Join me for the next episode. See you then. Be safe.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.